Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, I pressed about 10 different screens there by accident. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scouts. Always a bit weird when I'm doing these on my own. Don't have anyone to kind of banter with. So the chat is going to have to be my banter. There's 148 people live. I'm guessing you're all excited by everything we're seeing with all the prices so far. So what we're going to do in this video is just cover all the prices that we've had last night and today so far. And then tomorrow, obviously, we're going to have another video coming out with those prices. And then on Monday, there'll be another video with those prices. And then maybe the game will come out at some point next week. Who knows? I mean, it seems like it's going to at some point. But we never really know which day it's going to come out yet. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be next week. But I genuinely have no idea. So hello to everyone. This is my Saturday stream. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, this is being done the Saturday. We haven't had the 6 o'clock prices yet. We've had all up to 6 o'clock. So got quite a few teams to cover, and let's get on with it. We'll start with Leeds. Leeds dropped last night. I think it was probably the most underwhelming batch we've had. We've got Bamford on the screen there. I mean, 7.5 million. He's competing with the likes of Tony, for example, who's going to be 7. Mitrovic is going to be for 6.5. We'll probably know that at 6 p.m. tonight. We've had Jimenez, who we're going to talk about, coming in at 7. I'm surprised they've gone for 7.5 for Bamford, given the kind of season he had last year and Leeds' struggles. I think they could have priced him at 7. I think they could even have priced him at 6.5. So I think 7.5 is a lot of money for him. I don't think we're going to see too much investment in Leeds players. Rafinha's likely leaving. They very smartly not given a price for Rafinha. I imagine if he does move to Chelsea, even if Barcelona's looking a bit more likely, if he does move to Chelsea, I think we'll probably see him coming in around the 8.5 mark. If he stays at Leeds, I think we could see him probably about 7.5 again. So maybe an option. But Bamford, I don't know. I want him to be an option, but I don't think we're going to see too many people starting the season with him. Just a reminder of Leeds' fixtures from game week 1. Just get them up. They've got Wolves at home, first of all, and then Southampton, and then Chelsea at home, and then Brighton away, and then Everton at home. So, you know, they've got Southampton and Everton in there. Wolves, Chelsea, Brighton, maybe slightly tougher defences. I'm just worried about what Leeds we're going to see kind of at the start of the season, particularly if they do end up losing Rafinha. They're going to be relying on the new signings. Phillips is leaving for City. I think Leeds are probably a team best avoided, and Bamford unfortunately fits into that bracket. We've got Harrison here at 6 million. He's a good player. He's decent. He wasn't really a factor for us last season because we had Rafinha at 6.5. I do wonder if we are going to be looking for a 6 million midfielder. And we see that Leeds are starting strong and carrying on that kind of attacking verve. I think Harrison could end up being an option for us. I think 6 is the right price for him. I mean, if you're comparing him to Trossard, for example, yesterday, who we saw at 6.5, I think that was a bit too high. I don't think we're going to see much investment in that. But Harrison at 6, I think that's an okay price. The only thing that kind of puts me off him, I think, is we're starting to see some decent 5.5 mids coming through. And if we're going to be getting the likes of Salah, Haaland, Son, expensive defences, that 0.5 that we can save with these kind of budget mids, 5.5 to 6, I think kind of kills a 6.5 bracket quite a lot. And, you know, with players like Neto and Vissa, 5.5, maybe Johnson of Forest, if he's classed as a midfielder, then I think they're probably going to be the players that we go for. But yeah, I don't mind Harrison at 6. I think that's a good price. I think 5.5 would have been too low. And I think 6.5 would have killed him. So 6 is a good price. Melier is an interesting one. 4.5 million. He was 5 million last season, and quite a few people still went there. Makes absolutely tons of saves. The clean sheets with Leeds are rarer, but the save points are there. Also, the baseline bonus is really, really high familiar. So if Leeds do keep a clean sheet, we're expecting them to be a bit tighter next season, which could be the case if they're going to lose some of their kind of attacking intent. You've got to expect Melier to rack up the saves, rack up the bonuses and do really well. So again, 4.5, that brings him into achievable territory. I think we're starting already to see quite some quite good 4.5 million goalkeepers. Melier is there, Ray is there, Sanchez is 4.5. We've got some 5 million goalkeepers like Ramsdale and Martinez, and then even the 5.5, you know, probably Lloris again. Alisson's come down to 5.5. So the goalkeeper is a bit of an interesting one, depending on how much you want to play, how much you want to pay for it. I always start with a 4.5 goalkeeper. I think sometimes within the season, I'll move to maybe a 5 million goalkeeper when I've kind of got a bit more money from buying and selling players. But I think particularly at the start of the season, I think that the value is in the 4.5 goalkeepers. So with those fixtures, you know, Wolves, Southampton, Brighton and Everton, these in the first five, these aren't exactly, you know, free scoring, high scoring teams. They've got Chelsea sandwiched in between those. But I like Melier. I think he could be someone that I definitely look at and consider. The only issue is Leeds and how they're going to set up and play. I think they could be in real trouble this year. But yeah, we will see what happens to them. I think I prefer Raya at 4.5 over Melier, but I wouldn't blame anyone for going with Melier. And then this is the Leeds squad. Some of the kind of selected players. They've gone for Cooper and Cock at 4.5. Christensen's come in at 5, which is annoying. I think that kind of kills him as an option. There's no real reason why you would go for Christensen at 5. You know, if you could just get Cooper or Cock or Ayling, probably going to be 4.5 as well. If you're going to go for a Leeds defender, which is probably unlikely, I think Christensen would have been the pick of the bunch, given that he's kind of their new big money signing, given the fact that Cooper's had the injuries, and Christensen was certainly going to play. So I think 5 million is too much for him. They could have brought him in at 4.5. You've got Rocker at 5. I don't think too many people are going to be considering him. Aronson, 5.5. Again, using up a midfield spot, can't see it. James is there at 6. I think I'd rather have Harrison at 6. Unless James, you know, does get a run playing up front, but again, I can't see us using a midfielder spot on Dan James when there's so many good ones. Rodrigo's there at 6. Rodrigo's an interesting one. Again, he kind of plays in this kind of 10 or up front role. I just again, it's using a midfielder spot. I'd rather have Harrison given what I've seen. Not sure what the plans are for Rigo kind of in the long term. Talented player, but yeah, maybe one to watch and monitor. Could be a factor for us though. And then Gelhart's there at 5.5. So he's had the price rise up from 4.5 into that kind of 5.5 bracket, which is, you know, I'm expecting him to get more game time. For example, you've got players like Undav there at 5.5 as well. Maybe if Johnson, we're not sure if Johnson from Forest is going to be a forward or a mid. If he comes in as a forward at 5.5, then he's an option as well. I just think Gelhart could have been at 5 again. You know, I can't see anyone paying 5.5 for him. The 5 subs rule means he might play more. Bamford's had his injury doubts. Could be a factor for us, but I think at 5, he might be someone that you want to pay that 0.5 extra for rather than the 4.5 strikers you don't play, just to get some minutes. But at 5.5, I don't think we're gonna go there. So yeah, that's Leeds covered. I can't see a lot of value in any of their players really, and you know, despite them having quite good fixtures, I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of investment in them losing Rafinha and Phillips. So probably one to avoid. Right, next, a team that we definitely won't be avoiding: Liverpool. So Salah's coming at 13 million. No surprises there. Everyone thought that was going to be the case. The interesting thing is he hasn't been reclassified, which there has been some rumours that he might move to a forward, but he is staying as a midfielder. So top scoring player last season, 13 million. I mean, there's people already talking about not having him for game week 1 against Fulham, you know, going for some of the cheaper options that we're going to talk about in a second. I think realistically in the kind of the main template of players that are engaged and playing, you know, properly, Salah's going to be 85, 90% owned. I don't think there's good enough reasons to go without him. You want him for that captaincy in game week 1. Going for Haaland away at West Ham is difficult. I mean, you could potentially go for Son or Kane. We haven't had the prices for those yet. But, you know, against Southampton, if you wanted to go away from Liverpool. But Salah's just signed a new contract. You know, he's going to have the pre-season. He's going to be absolutely razor sharp. So I just don't. I think if you're going about Salah, you're probably overthinking it. And if you're going to thinking that you're going to use that money to spread around your team and invest heavily in defence or whatever, it's just going to make it even harder for you to move for him when you inevitably do want them. So my advice, I'm sorry, is boring. I think you need to start with Salah in your team. The question then is, who do you pair him with? Well, they've been very kind, and some people call it kind. I think it's very, I don't know what the word is. I don't agree with the prices for the next two I'm going to talk about. Diaz is 8 million. I thought he'd come in at 9 million midfielder. He could even have been 9.5. 8 is absolutely ridiculous, I think, for Diaz. I know he didn't sort of have the clinical nature to his game last season, but you know he signed in January and showed the glimpses of what he's kind of capable of. I just think at 8 million, this is a player, again, who should be getting somewhere between 180, 190 points. Fulham, you know, in the first game, and then Crystal Palace, United, Bournemouth, Newcastle. It's an incredible run of games for Liverpool to start the season with. I think the question isn't, you know, which three Liverpool, you know, do you get three Liverpool? It's kind of which ones you get. And there's only really a couple of options: Salah, Diaz, and then Trent, Robertson, maybe Van Dijk. As well, there's people talking about Jota. I'm not sure about him. I don't think he features in the first choice front three. I think that's going to be Diaz, Salah, and Darwin Nunez, who's coming in at 9. We'll talk about in a second. I think we're going to see some investment in the defensive double up with Trent and Robertson. But I really like Diaz. I think Diaz at 8 million is a good price, and there's so many good 8 million. Midfielders that are coming in. You know, we've already had Foden. We might see Kulusevski coming at 8. We might see Mount coming at somewhere around 8. We've had Sancho, we're going to talk about, coming in kind of around 8. I think you really want a player in that kind of price point, just so you can be flexible and move depending on the fixtures and form and all that kind of thing. So if Diaz has a good pre-season, looks sharp, which I'm sure he will, I'm expecting really big things from him next year. So I think it's a really, really good price. I think they could easily price him at 9. If I'm looking at players who I think are really underpriced, I think Diaz is right up there. But he's not as underpriced as the next player, which is Trent. I cannot believe Trent has come in at 7.5. Again, this is a consistent player in FPL who gets in and around 200 points year after year. It just annoys me a little bit because it's such a no-brainer decision to have Trent. And again, you can try and be clever and you can say, oh, I could go for Matip or Van Dijk and save the money. But realistically, you know, I always feel with Trent that 200 points is his floor, really. I mean, this is a player who has he's got free kicks, he's got corners. You know, Liverpool get the clean sheets. He could be a 240, 250 point player at the end of the season. There's no logical reason for me with Liverpool's fixtures, with Trent's form, with his history, with, you know, you're comparing, you know, Trent, for example, to Bamford. You know, who do you back to score more points out of those two? Trent is just an absolute must-have, in my opinion. And I think if they'd priced him at 8.5 and, you know, Van Dijk's at 6.5 maybe, and you've got that 2 million difference, I think that gives you a decision to make, and maybe you do think, oh, maybe I won't go for Trent, maybe I'll go for Robertson, maybe I'll go for Matip, you know, maybe I'll go for one Reece James or someone. But at 7.5, it's absolute no-brainer. I mean, he finished the season last season well over 8 million. So, you know, he's actually been bought down in price from where he finished last year. So, yeah, I think they should have made him 8.5. I think they've got it a little bit wrong on Diaz and Trent. A million more I would have put them at. But yeah, it kind of makes it quite easy for us to slot them in our side. So I guess that's one benefit. Maybe I'm being too close-minded. Looking at the squad then, these are some of their other players. No real surprises here, except maybe Alisson coming in at 5.5. He was the top-scoring keeper last season. The problem with these kind of premium goalkeepers is, A, you're using a Liverpool spot to have Alisson, and I think, you know, going for Robertson, Trent, you know, even Darwin Nunez could hit the ground running, Salah, Jota could come in, and if you're stuck with Alisson, then, you know, you're going to find it really hard to move to one of these kind of in-form attacking players or even their defenders. So I think it's actually a really clever move on FPL's part to bring him down to 5.5, because you leave him at 6 and no one's going there. 5.5 is quite tantalising for him. But I don't see him outscoring some of the other goalkeepers as much as some of the defenders from Liverpool might outscore their other, you know, other defenders, or someone like Diaz might outscore other mids around that mark. So, you know, when you're looking at goalkeepers, and we're looking at kind of the 4.5 options, you know, the likes of Raya, Ramsdale, Martinez a few seasons ago, Melier scored really highly. You know, you don't necessarily need a player from a top side in goal. So I think Alisson is a bit of a luxury move. If you're going with Alisson, Salah and Trent, I think you're probably going to regret it when some of the other Liverpool forwards sort of catch your eye. So yeah, I like the price of Alisson, but I won't be going there. You've got Van Dijk then at 6.5. Robertson at 7, no huge surprises there. I mean, that's kind of in keeping with where they were last season. I think Robertson is always going to be a little bit cheaper than Trent, even though he does go on spells where he does really well. Van Dijk's your kind of solid option, who again could be a factor, but I think you want to pay that extra 0.5 of Robertson, and definitely that extra one for Trent if you can afford it. You know, Van Dijk's also going to be competing with the likes of Chilwell, James. There's going to be Cancelo in there as well. Maybe the Spurs fullbacks. I think you've got these really, really attacking defenders, and Van Dijk does well, gets goals, gets clean sheets. But I think for a little bit more, around the same money, you can get some attacking and some better attacking potential as well. Then looking at some of the other players, I mean, you've got Harvey Elliott there at 5. I mean, he was kind of in the team at the start of last season, and then got that injury. Be interesting to see if he kind of comes in again, though. You're using a Liverpool spot for a 5 million mid. Might be hard to kind of, you know, juggle that around. Probably not the one that I'd go for, but if he does get a run in the team, and we do see lots of rotation around the kind of these attacking spots, maybe he kind of is your third midfielder of choice, but somehow I doubt it. Thiago's there at 5.5, no one's going there. And then you've got Darwin Nunez coming in as a forward, 9 million. So he's a million more than Diaz. It's going to be really interesting to see how Darwin Nunez slots into this team, really. He's a different kind of option that Liverpool haven't really had. You know, tall, powerful, kind of more orthodox kind of centre forward. So, you know, getting the ball to him, he's going to have the balls from Trent coming and Robertson. He looks kind of like he's a hell of a talent. He's an amazing signing for them. It's just whether he kind of hits the ground running straight away in this kind of system, wherever he needs a bit of time to adjust. Diaz didn't, for example. Jota didn't. You know, it's going to be a different kind of front three. I think we're going to see a bit of rotation going in. I wouldn't be too surprised if Nunez didn't start the season and they did start with Jota up top, who is also a 9 million forward, which is really interesting that they've reclassified him. So now you've got these kind of two Liverpool forwards battling out for that one spot. I think both of them are a wait and see for me. I think Nunez is going to get that spot kind of long term. They can all kind of rotate, they can all interchange. Jota can play on the left, Darwin Nunez can play on the right, Salah can play up top. It's, you know, then they've got the five subs, so they're all going to see kind of significant minutes. But yeah, for me, I think we're going to see a move towards Darwin, Nunez, Salah and Diaz on the left, with Jota kind of filling in as and when they kind of need a rest. But we might get some clues in pre-season. If we do get some clues in pre-season that maybe Nunez isn't ready, for example, or if there's any injuries or anything, then I think Jota at 9 million forward could be a good option. He's competing with Gabriel Jesus, who's probably going to come in around that price. As well, Jesus is definitely going to play sort of every game, every minute. I think I'd probably rather have him and look for my Liverpool options elsewhere. Right, let's look at the next one. United. Really, really interesting, this one. I saw these prices and I was kind of like, ooh, they've done really well here. So, yeah, I can be a bit critical of some of the prices, but I think they've absolutely nailed the United ones. I think they really needed to price the United players kindly to even give us a thought, because if they're coming in, you know, at premium prices again, you know, if Sancho's coming in at 9 million again, Fernandes is 11, you know, whatever, we're just not going to touch them. But Ronaldo's the priciest, he's coming in at 10.5, so it's quite a big drop for him compared to last season. There's some rumours he's not too happy at United, he's not really kind of maybe not buying into this philosophy from Ten Hag too much, frustrated with the lack of signings. You know, he could go kind of, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, I think they probably want to keep him given what he did last season. At 10.5, he's an option. United's fixtures, Brighton, Brentford, Liverpool, Southampton, Leicester. Not too bad, but not too great. I mean, Brighton are a decent defensive side. So are Brentford. Liverpool in Game Week 3 is really tough. Leicester, I'm backing to be, you know, a better side. That Southampton game in Game Week 4 is good. I think there's a bit of a wait and see on these. I think we really want to see how they kind of set up under Ten Hag, and, you know, with the signings coming in. You know, they want to get De Jong from Barcelona, but really they need to make about four or five different signings. So yeah, I think this it's a wait and see. Definitely Ronaldo for me with the premiums, with the other premiums that we're going to be considering. Looking at Fernandes at 10, really kind price for him. He's, you know, he's fallen from 12 million, so fallen right down. No consistency last season, but you know, if we look at some of the stats of his, and I can do that on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, which I'll just get up now. We compare him to De Bruyne, and let's compare him to someone like Mount as well. The kind of the creative hubs of the team. Move it over here. You can see here in terms of the kind of chances created, and you know, big chances over the season. You know, Fernandes is still featuring kind of really high. And if we look at these stats, you know, of him compared to last season as well, the chances creating just haven't really dipped. It's much more the kind of goal threat that he started losing kind of last season. So I think Fernandes could be back on the radar next year if Ten Hag can get the kind of the players firing and they can start converting some of their chances. He's going to be involved in all of it. So yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I think they could have maybe priced him a little bit lower. I think they could have maybe bought him in at 9.5. I think that would have really made him an option. But yeah, he had a poor season last year. The season before that, he was, you know, one of the best players in the league. He joined the season before that, he was absolutely incredible as well. I don't think he's someone that we can really write off, but he's someone that I think we probably want to kind of just wait and see on for a bit. And then looking at some of the other options, actually, let's go to Sancho quickly. Sancho's there at 7.5. Amazing price. I mean, he was a 9.5 when he came in last season. You know, big price tag, £80 million, absolutely smashing it in the Bundesliga. And now, you know, I think he got 3 goals last season. Really, really poor return from him. Never really showed any signs that he was capable of kind of being a big hitter. But now at 7.5, he hasn't got to be a big hitter. He's just got to be someone who, you know, well, I mean, he's got to outscore someone like Trent at the same price. But if you're going to looking at the kind of 7.5 million bracket, you're hoping for probably, what, 160, 170 points over the season, something like that. Or just someone who you can get in spells when they've got a good fixture run, which isn't probably their first five games, but I think he's someone that could factor in. You're looking at him compared to Fernandes, for example. I mean, Fernandes is going to set you back 10. Sancho's going to cost you 7.5. But if we can see any glimpses that we're getting the Sancho that we all want to see in the Premier League, I think 7.5 is going to be an absolute steal for him. I mean, the other player who could be an absolute steal for us, and I couldn't believe when I saw this, is Rashford. So Rashford as a mid, 6.5 million as well. If Ronaldo does leave, could we see Rashford like playing up front again like he has done before? An out of position Rashford for 6.5 would be surely like an absolute bargain of the season. He's someone that I think could be a real kind of game breaker next year. I mean, there's no doubting the talent of Rashford. There's no doubting, you know, just how good a player he is. It's just he has fallen so far over the last few seasons. And there's obviously still a player in there, but they need to kind of unlock that. 6.5 though, I think, you know, we're going to be, we're talking about these kind of enabler players, you know, 5.5, 6, 6.5. I mean, if it's Trossard at 6.5 versus a Rashford who's starting every week for United, it's a no-brainer. You pick Rashford in that. So yeah, I'd like that one. Looking at the defence are all coming in at 5, which I think is really interesting. De Gea's 5, you've got Shaw at 5, so he was 5.5 last season. Telles, Varane's dropped to 5. Wonder what Maguire will come out. Maybe he'll be pushed up to 5.5 because of the better goal threat, which means we'll probably go for Varane if we were going to pick one. Again, wait and see on United defence. They're absolutely shocking, you know, last season, but at 5 million could have a bit of a say in our seasons. And then you've got the midfield. I mean, I think the midfield, no disrespect. I mean, Elanga's a good, you know, a good young player. But the midfield options with Fred and Van de Beek. I mean, Van de Beek, I mean, how many managers now don't have any, you know, faith in what he's doing? You know, he gets bought by managers. All the Man United fans say, oh, let's unlock Van de Beek. And then they can't. And he goes off to Everton alone, doesn't get a game. Now he's come back. If anyone can do it, it's Ten Hag. He's worked with him before. He had him at Ajax, loved him. Are we going to see kind of the best that we can out of him? 5.5 though. I mean, they could have made him 5. You know, and just giving us a little bit of an option there. But at 5-5, I don't think anyone's gonna go there. So yeah, it's Rashford really that I like the look of the most. Rashford and Sancho. I think they're the two potential bargains of the season. I think Fernandes will be a factor for us, and it'd be a bit easier to get at 10. Jury's out on Ronaldo. I think, you know, it's going to be harder to fit him in next year. But again, I think the price is good for him if he does stay and, you know, picks his toys up. Okay, next is Wolves. Jimenez coming in at 7. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, again, I think they could have made him 6-5. You know, at least they didn't push him up to 7-5. We've seen what he's capable of in the past. Last season, though, coming back from that horrible injury, he wasn't the same player. You know, he was dropping a lot deeper. Maybe his role changed with the new manager. He just didn't look to me like he was just fully comfortable getting his head on the end of crosses and, you know, making those kind of killer tackles. He looked almost a bit kind of still traumatised from the injury, which is completely fair enough. I just, again, I don't think at 7 million we're going to go there with the likes of Tony and Mitrovic probably being much better factors. We're going to talk about Watkins in a bit. He's around the kind of 7.5 mark. Is Jimenez going to get, you know, 10 goals next season? I mean, he could do. Is he going to get 150, 160 points? I'm not really sure. And Wolves have actually got some good budget options in midfield as well, which I think are probably the way to go, which we'll talk about in a sec. So I can't see too much investment in Jimenez, but yeah, I really want to see him kick on and have a better season next year. But I think, you know, given the role, given the injury, is a bit too much of a risk for me. We've got Johnny as a 4.5 million defender. Seems good value. Semedo is still injured, going to miss the start of the season. So we're probably going to see Johnny and what, Aitnori kind of on in the wing-back roles. I think 4.5 is a good price for him. He's got attacking threat. He's a good player. And, you know, some of the other Wolves players have come in a bit more expensive in defence. So Johnny's the pick out of the Wolves defenders for me. I think if you're, you know, going heavy in midfield, going heavy up front, and you're looking for a kind of a fourth defender, then I think someone like Johnny or Aitnori probably is that perfect kind of fourth spot, because at 4-5, it's, you know, basically as cheap as you get. And even if you're looking kind of the five million midfielders or 5.5 strikers, I think I'd probably rather have Johnny. So yeah, I think that's a really nice price for him. I think we're going to see him in quite a few teams as well. Wolves have got a decent fixture run as well. They've got Leeds and Fulham first two games, and then Spurs, and then Newcastle and Bournemouth. So that's four, you know, winnable games really for them. They're absolutely terrible towards the end of last season, but before that, they were brilliant defensively. So yeah, I think Johnny is a really, really good pick, particularly with Semedo out. So I really like that. And then you've got Sarr. So Sarr's coming at 5. Again, I don't really know why you would pick Sarr when you've got some of the Wolves players in defence at cheaper than that. Again, I think with, you know, with Raya and Melier there at 4.5, Sanchez at Brighton at 4.5 as well. I think investment in Sarr is going to be quite low amongst the kind of, you know, the more kind of engaged players. I think he's going to be a popular pick for the, dare I say it, the casuals, because, you know, he was a high scoring goalkeeper last season. But again, I want to know what kind of Wolves turn up, because if they come out like they did sort of towards the end of last season, and they start the season like that, then, you know, any aspirations of a kind of a top half finish are going to be dented pretty quickly. So they've got the perfect two games to jump on in Leeds and Fulham. I think rather than go for the goalkeeper there, you want to target those attacking defenders, try and get some attacking returns as well. So Sarr is a no for me, but 5 million is probably about the same, about the right price. And then just looking at the squad, Aitnori, who I mentioned, is 4-5. Kilman's 4-5. Cody's gone up to 5, which I don't really understand. I think they could easily have left him at 4.5. He got a couple of goals last season, but, you know, when you've got Aitnori and Johnny there at 4.5, I don't really know why they've pushed Cody up. Semedo is there at 5 as well. Could be an option when he comes back. He was awful for me last season when I owned him, didn't get anything. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see when he does come back. That means Johnny could either move over to the left or he's going to be kind of fighting with him as well. So yeah, I think maybe if you, Aitnori and Marcel, are kind of on that left. Marcel is definitely getting on a bit now. I think Aitnori is going to lock down that position. So I like, I like Johnny to kind of start to the season, but I think, you know, moving forward, it's probably going to be Aitnori over the season. Look at this though. One of the best prices I think we've got here is Neto. Neto at 5-5 as a midfielder. I mean, he was playing up front with Jimenez towards the end of last season. He's come back from this big injury. He was priced at 6 last season. He didn't. It's lucky that he didn't score loads of goals, but he always looks sharp. He always looks dangerous, and his price has gone down to 5.5. So I think he's an absolutely brilliant pick. He's going to play most of the games for Wolves. He's going to have this five sub thing, which you know might mean early subs for him. But at 5.5, he's the kind of player who you can have and just take the kind of odd goal for. And with those two fixtures as well, Leeds and Fulham, I think I'd probably be starting with Neto. And I know he's very popular. He was popular before when he was predicted to be priced at 6. But coming in at 5.5, I think we're going to see a lot of investment in him with those two games. You've got Neves there. No one really goes with Neves. I'm not sure why he's gone up to 5.5. I think he was a 5, and that was probably about right for him. Pedence is 5.5. He was, you know, in spells, he was good as well, but we're never really sure where he's gonna play or when he's going to play. And I just don't know why you go for him over Neto, who I genuinely think is a better player and has better goal threat and is less erratic. And then you've got Hwang. I mean, the most expensive one out of all of these, apart from Jimenez, is Hwang, who was absolutely useless last season in front of goal. And I mean useless. So he's gone up in price from 5.5 to 6. I don't know why. I'm not expecting him to play that much. And he's not very good. So I would avoid him. Neto is the absolute pick for me out of these. And then finally, we've got Villa. So Villa got announced just before we came on this stream. And just before I do that, let me just see if I can get my little animation thing working. Let's just press this one. Oh, no. It's kind of works. Hang on, let's try that again. Let me just see if I can get my little animation thing working. There you go. Yeah. So if you enjoyed this video, please like the video. Drop me a comment as well. Make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. The pre-season content is going to really rack up. We're going to have team reveals. We're going to have videos talking about budget players and all of that once we've got the kind of game going. So, yeah, I really want everyone to kind of come to the channel and watch the videos because I'm really excited about kind of stuff that we've got planned. We've got new graphics coming on the channel as well. Obviously, we've got the music now. So let me know what you think about that. But yeah, like and subscribe if you're enjoying the video. It'd really help. Let's talk about Villa then. So Coutinho, he's coming at 7. So was he 6.5 last season? I can't remember. Has he gone up a little bit or was he around 7? Anyway, I think he's an interesting one. He needed minutes last season when he signed. Hadn't played for a while. Got plenty of those. Scored against City in the final week. Going to have a full pre-season. Signed permanently now. Going to be integral to kind of the way Villa set up. Bournemouth, first game, absolutely brilliant. You know, newly promoted side. Everton, next game, brilliant. Palace, West Ham, Arsenal, gets a bit tougher after those first two. But I really like the look of having a Villa player for those first two games. And if I'm picking an attacker, I think Coutinho is the one that I'd want to go for. So I think it's 7 million. I think we might be able to squeeze him in to some of our sides. And yeah, I think he could start the season really strongly. So I really like that. Watkins is next. Watkins is 7.5, so a little bit more expensive. I'd rather have Coutinho. I mean, Watkins was a very frustrating player for a lot of people last year. You know, hit the post quite a lot. You know, never really kind of always underperformed kind of his XG. But, you know, the season before last, don't forget, he was, you know, getting 15, 16 goals. So we want to see him kind of go back to that. So for me, you know, as a forward, we're kind of quite light on forwards, generally speaking. Watkins is 7.5. It's a decent price, but I think I'd rather have Coutinho. But it's probably about the right price for him. Look at this though, Cash and Dean both coming in at 5 million. Again, I mentioned kind of, you know, going with a 4.5 Wolves attacking defender, Aitnori or someone like that. But I think we're going to see investment in Cash and Dean, you know, with people moving to 4 at the back or maybe even 5 at the back as well. Because if you're looking at Cash or Dean at 5 million compared to the 5 million midfielders or the 5.5 strikers, again, there's no decision to be made that I'd much rather have one of those two. So I think the question is not kind of, you know, do we get one? It's kind of which one do we get? Again, I just want to mention the scout members area once again, because this is kind of perfect for this kind of thing to kind of compare them. So I'll just show that. Hold on. So here we can compare Cash and Dean and have a look at those. We've got De Bruyne in there as well. Let's put in Aitnori as well, just to stick him in. And you can see kind of over the seasons, show average per appearance. And you can see here, you've got Dean creating the most chances. Aitnori with getting the most bonus points. Look at that goal involvement for Aitnori as well. But then look at Cash on some of these other metrics. More goal attempts, more goals, more shots in the box, better XGI, big chances. All the kind of big metrics are all pointing towards cash. So Dean's great. He's going to have some free kicks. He does get assists, but I think in terms of pure goal threat, I think we're looking at cash and thinking he's probably the one to go for. So once again, if you're interested in this kind of stuff, and this kind of comparison, head over to Scout, sign up and become a member. There's a few more days left before the price goes up. So lock in the price that it is now, and you'll never pay more than that as long as you're a member of the site. And you get access to all these kind of great tools and comparisons that I talk about in this video. Finally, our final screen then is just some of the other Aston Villa players. You've got Martinez there. He's come down to 5 from 5.5, probably the right price for him. He's disappointing last season, had that big price hike, never really did it. And then you've got players like Diego Carlos at 5, Dean at 5. I mean, you're not going to go near Carlos when you've got Dean and Cash, which is interesting. I thought they'd probably bring Carlos in at 5 and Dean and Cash in at 5.5. I think that's really, really cheap for Cash and Dean. In midfield, we're not really going to go near Kamara or McGinn. Ramsey's there, who's an interesting one. He's gone up from 4.5 to 5.5. I think that's quite a good price for him. If you're looking at getting in Villa early, you want to target those first two fixtures. I think Ramsey is someone that we could look at for 5.5, good price for him. Buendia's 6, in and out the team a little bit. Again, a million cheaper than Coutinho. If he does get a run, if there's an injury or something like that, I think he could be a player that we look at. And then you've got Danny Ings. Danny Ings coming down to 7 million. I really like that. He was kind of in and out of the team again. It didn't really look like Gerrard trusted him that much. He came in for a few games, got a couple of goals. I bought him in. He missed that game and then didn't get back into the team for the final game. So my sense is that Gerrard doesn't really trust him up front and will likely look at kind of other ways to make it work. But again, if Watkins does get injured or something like that, and we do get a run of games rings, elite finisher, great player. So for that, Mark Neymar seems a robotic stream. It is a bit robotic, isn't it? I'm sorry. It's difficult when you're on your own doing these. I haven't really got anyone to kind of banter with and go back and forth with. So, and I'm a little bit hungover as well. So it's making it all a little bit more difficult. But hopefully it's useful. Just to point out some of the prices and underrated picks, undervalued picks for the season. That's probably it from me then. If you haven't yet, head over to Live FPL. You can start building a team. All the prices are kind of updated that we've got so far in that. So we're now reaching a point where you can, you know, feasibly really actually start to put a good squad together. We're going to get some more prices in about an hour. I think I saw some rumours it's going to be Fulham, or it'll be kind of one of the lower league sides. I think they're going to go big again tomorrow. Maybe start with a Spurs or a Chelsea, something like that. I think once we've got those two teams, then I think we've got to have a really, really good idea of what our teams are going to look like going into game week one. So yeah, that's it from me. Thanks everyone for watching. 600 people watching live, fantastic. Again, head over to Scout, sign up, check out some of these tools and do some of these comparisons and make your own stats tables and all that kind of stuff. Also, Black Box, if anyone's a fan of FPL Black Box, Mark and I will be streaming at 7 p.m. tonight. So have a look at FPL Black Box on YouTube. Check us out on Twitter as well. And we'll be doing a bit of a season review of last season, which I know looking back to last season seems crazy, but we haven't done it yet and we probably should. It's an excuse to laugh at Mark a little bit more. But then we'll also be discussing some of these prices. Mark isn't happy with a lot of these prices. So yeah, be interesting to see his reactions to that. So hopefully see you then. Yeah, but that's great. Thanks everyone for watching and I will see you soon.